As we enter a new era.
Couldn't stop him. He keeps going forward.
History.
And I will fight for you, for your family, and your future.
Happens here.
Isn't it nice to win?
Here. Nice to win.
This is News Talk 97.3.
The Sky.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three beginning. Welcome, welcome, and stay warm, my friends. Happy Thursday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top story still, UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson shot down in cold blood in New York City. Killer still on the loose. Details on that coming up. But first, much happier thoughts as we connect with our friend, Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek. Morning, Carl. How you doing?
Good morning on this beautiful, chilly holiday day.
Yes, it is. And look, the holidays are here, and I know you've got a lot of festive things going on in Marion County. So if you can, just kind of give us the greatest hits, hit list, and we'll whip through that.
Absolutely, Bob. You know, we lit up the downtown square already, so you have the lights every evening down on the downtown square. If you want to check out some of the great events that I'm going to mention, please check out ocalamarion.com. December 7th, you can head down and watch the 6th annual golf cart parade. Also, the following weekend, we have the Ocala Christmas Parade. Really, I was out at the Winter Wonderland at the World Equestrian Center, and it is incredible. With more than a million lights, you can go to wecwinterland.com, and so many people are going out there and checking it out. What an incredible evening to grab a cup of hot cocoa, look at the light, enjoy a horse show, and even a 250-pound gingerbread horse.
Wow.
It's pretty incredible. Symphony Under the Stars and Lights, their complimentary holiday concert in Tuscarawas going on. And so there's so many different things to get on, but check out that website, ocalamarion.com. The Nutcracker starts December 15th through the 17th at the Riley.
I heard you're a big fan. You're a big fan of Nutcracker.
Oh, yeah. You know, you can't wait for that sugar plum fairy to come, right, my friend?
That's right. Hey, and you're also Bring the Harvest Home is also on Friday, right?
Yeah, so that's our big food drive. That's coming up this Friday, December 6th on the downtown square from 7 a.m. to 1. You can actually just drive around the square like so many do. And these help to fill our pantries during the holiday season of the Salvation Army, Interfaith, Brothers Keeper, and Veterans Helping Veterans.
And again, you could go to marionfl.org for more information on that one. You know, we all think about Christmas trees and that wonderful pine smell as you bring it into the house and enjoy that over the holidays. But, it's always been a hazard as well, or could be. What do you say, Carl?
Yeah, you know, so listen, just remember, just like anything else, just be careful. You know, I had that when I was a young kid. We had one of those little Christmas tree light fires, and so I always remember that. You know, when the needles start to fall, it's time to get that thing out of there for sure. But even when it's actually, you know, fresh, it's still flammable. So just remember all that kind of stuff. You know, we start running all these electric cords and all those things, and so our fire department wants you just to be reminded. Be careful with that. Purchase fresh trees from reliable people. One of the cool things, too, Bob, this year, that like they've done for so many years, is that you can actually go out and pick your own tree and cut it down in the Ocala National Forest if you're looking for that real experience.
Wow, yeah. I know some people do that as something that we think about, but we don't think we have access to it in Florida. But thanks for the reminder. You could go in the forest and do just that, right?
Yeah, it's a really neat thing. You can go pick up a Christmas tree permit. It's one of those things I forget about as well, but, you know, hundreds of people do it every year, and it's what a cool experience with your kids going out there and picking out your own tree.
Yeah, that really would be. All right, you've got Marion County Fire Rescue, and they've got some announcements. What's going on?
Yeah, so we have some big news. I mean, this has been a long time coming. Our fire chief at our meeting on Tuesday finally announced that our department is 100% fully staffed,
wow,
except for the new positions we've just created. And so that has been a mission for us for the last 8 years, trying to get to a fully staffed position and getting all those folks. We have some of them. We're staffed. We're not everybody's out in the field yet. We have some folks still going through training. But what a huge thank you to our team for getting that staffing done. Our training division has been working their tails off, Chief Rogers and all those guys. Man, I'm just so thankful we're finally there.
I remember meeting fire rescue folks, and it was about that 8 or 9 years ago. And I mentioned your name, and honestly, the response wasn't that great. And I go, really? And he said, well, there's a lot. We need a lot, Marion County Fire Rescue, et cetera, right? And I immediately talked to you about it. I know you were already working on it because you told me. You go, look, yeah, you're right. We're working on it. And I hope, in fact, I do. I know that guy. Later on, appreciated a lot of the hard work that you put in the changes that you were able to do to make Marion County Fire Rescue awesome.
Yeah, it's really the success of that has, you know, so many different things have gone into it. We've gotten the right equipment. We've recruited right here from home. We've helped make improvement in work-life balance with the department. All of those things have really come around to make our department a true blessing to the community, and I'm so excited for that.
And you've, Marion County, great advocates for the animals. I know you've, put money and resources into, establishing new facilities and stuff like that. And I know you want to get the word out about people and regular reminders about, vaccinations.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting is that even still today, people don't know that, actually when they get an animal, they have a responsibility within first 10 days to 30 days to make sure that your animal has its current rabies vaccination and a county license. It kind of acts as that registration. And so many folks it's one of those things you don't think about. You get your brand new pet and animal and family member and you get excited and we forget to do that paperwork. And so I just want to shout out to our animal services, our team. They're doing such a great job. If you need one of those family friends, please come down and adopt during this holiday season. And if you need a rabies or a license, go to marionfl.org/animal.
You mean my golden retriever could just go online and register there?
Yes, sir.
Buster! See how easy that is, Buster?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, your X account will be going crazy if you can make that happen, Bob. Please let me know.
Hey, great things going on, and Marion County just busy and bustling, and you've already did the big light up ceremony, and now you've got all these other great things. Did you get your golf cart all souped up for this, Carl?
I'm not going to be in the golf cart parade, but I think the fire rescue guys actually, we have a Polaris that we use for off-road
rescues,
or rescues and all those kind of things. And I think we'll be using that for the Ocala Christmas parade, so it should be fun.
All right, it's always a great time, and you guys always knock it out of the park. Carl Zalek, Marion County Commissioner, and my friend, I wish the best to you and your family. And if we don't talk to you before then, have yourself a great Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas, Bob, to you and to all of our friends.
All right, Carl Zalek, Marion County Commissioner. Lots of things going on, Marion County.
Big time.
Things going on in Gainesville too. In fact, on Saturday, I'll share that with you. Coming up on the Bob Rose Show, Greg Cassidy is here, and your top story: United Healthcare CEO. They still have not captured his killer as of yet, and we'll fill you in on the latest that we do have. Coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Now, there's people actually listening who are cold right now. Greg's in the studio, which is a perfect temperature. He's rubbing his hands together like he's going to die. He's got his hoodie on.
Trying to get a fire going over here.
Gosh. You take some iron, man, Mr. Anemia. Don't pick on Greg at least once every day.
Oh, I think he's mad at me or something.
Mom calls and goes,
yeah,
show Greg some love, which she means,
that's right.
Poke at him a little bit.
Give him some abuse.
It is 8:21 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Gainesville, it's going to be a very GNV holiday parade. A very GNV. GNV. Oh, I get it. That's short for Gainesville, I guess.
Yeah.
How clever. Anyway, don't let that spoil the fun, because the parade does start Saturday at noon. Yep. Oh, and by the way, Saturday is December 7th.
Oh, yes.
A day that'll live in infamy. Yeah.
I've heard that.
Pass along to the kids that aren't It's properly being taught.
That aren't being taught history, yeah.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor. Yeah, so we won't be on the air to acknowledge that, so we'll do it now, and we'll do it tomorrow as well. Shaquille O'Neal is going to be the Grand Marshal of the parade, though. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be on West University. It's going to kick off at noon. Get there a little bit early, you know, get a chair, get a spot, and have fun and enjoy. And the weather should be pretty nice, I think. Still be a little bit cool, but hopefully crisp and nice. You know, holiday-ish, yes. Which I do like. President Joe Biden appeared drowsy, closed his eyes Wednesday for about 80 seconds during a summit in Angola. Yeah, they were briefly closed. During the trip, though, he did wake up just long enough to get out the old American taxpayer checkbook.
Oh, great.
And cut a check for about $2.5 billion overall. Yeah, some for humanitarian aid, some to build a railroad corridor to the continent.
Well, who doesn't like a train set for Christmas, you know? Come on.
He did say something about riding the train, and if I don't want to take this out of context, I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
He talked about riding the train every day.
Yes, he did.
As though he was still doing it. In other words, he forgot about the 8 years where he's VP and he didn't ride it, and the nearly 4 years he's been president.
Uh-huh.
He acted as though he's still riding the train. Well, he even mentioned the miles. Wow. I think he said 121 miles round trip or something. Yeah, and he was saying it like, hey, man, I believe in trains. I ride one every day. Not I rode one. Okay. Oh, and by the way, the trains... The idea is that that will help bring us some precious minerals that are coming from some of the mines, like cobalt and other things needed for the EVs. Now, China's already poured a bunch of money into some of those same things. In fact, even that same railroad is my understanding. But I guess we had a consortium of investors in the U.S. that won the rights to do the railroad. I'm holding up my air quotes back in 2022. So, I don't know how that either this money that's being handled now impacts that deal or vice versa. And if you already had private investors and it's kind of a done deal, what exactly is going on here? It's train tracks.
Yeah.
Or at least it looks that way. But if you look closer, it looks like a laundromat.
Oh.
Yeah.
More laundry.
Bring money in from taxpayers. Get money back.
China.
Nah, I couldn't be. No.
What's China?
That would never happen, right? By the way, we are so far behind China in anything to do with the continent of Africa. Man, they are entrenched. I warned about it many years ago. And... we're so far behind now. This really, it's a drop in the bucket. We're way behind in that game. And, of course, almost 4 years of Biden has done nothing but make the value of all the Chinese investments go up. They cornered the market on all the EV battery technology and the rare earth minerals that go along with it. They basically cornered the market. And so what does Biden do to counter that? All cars are going to be electric by 2035 and et cetera. It's like, what? What? And I love it when they run under the banner of we're progressives.
Right.
Like, yeah, we're pushing forward, you know? But none of them were progressive enough to think that, hey, maybe we should be able to develop battery technology and actually produce it, manufacture it, here in the good old US of A, or maybe even with another friendlier country than China. Oh, no. Can't think that far ahead. Or did they think that far ahead? And there's something in it for them. Wait. Let's see. The Biden Center connected with, what is it, the University of Pennsylvania?
Yes. And
took in millions and millions from the Chinese Communist government.
What a coincidence.
That is. Wow.
If you believe that.
I wonder if anybody else put that together. Wow, this is... Mm. I'm looking for something that, let's lighten it up. Ordinary citizens have cracked the pro-migration establishment in Canada, Britain, and the United States, and may soon cement their win with laws curbing the wealth-shifting inflows of blue-collar and white-collar workers. The latest crack came in the UK, where the recently elected yet increasingly unpopular far-left prime minister is trying to revive his polls by declaring opposition to the UK's establishment's policy of using migration to convert their cohesive nation into a bigger multicultural and chaotic economy. When the far-left leader sees how detrimental this mass immigration is, they've already seen it. They already knew it. But when the people... Yes. When the people catch on and they're like, enough is enough. Another place where that is taking place is in Chicago, where several people of color have come out and voiced extremely well the plight of these people. These are homeowners in Chicago. They're going to be taxed. Their taxes are going to go up even higher than they already are. And the vast majority of that money is going to go to taking care of illegal immigrants. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Click on subscribe. Plenty more to talk about coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.
Here's what's trending on The Sky.
Ceasefire in Lebanon.
Remarkable calm after what had been 14 months of war.
I think a lot of this has to do with the change administrations coming up.
The news that's trending.
I am concerned with all these nominees.
Well, I think she's compromised.
The news that's now.
The United States Lieutenant Colonel.
Don't let these allegations distract us. The Pentagon has been more focused on pronouns than they have lethality the past 4 years.
Now, more news.
Updates every half hour.
Breaking news at once on News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
I'll admit it when I don't have it exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll admit it very quickly and go on to some brilliant thing that I claim that I did. But it is 8:35. I'm trying to keep it real. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And I'm referring to the case against Marine veteran Daniel Penny, the guy who was defending the folks on the subway. But it resulted in the death of Jordan Neely.
Right.
A 30-year-old homeless man. Wow, he's 30. He looked a lot rougher than that, didn't he?
Well, yeah.
So anyway, what am I wrong about? Well, we all can agree that this never should have went to trial. This right. was brought to trial because of, well, basically, I think race baiting, that kind of stuff, probably overall. This same... you know, the working for the district attorney, you know, the prosecutor, apparently she's had some violent folks and gave them really sweetheart deals. Yet, you know, she's going in, you know, very hard to put
big time
this hero in prison, basically. And what I said was, oh, the jury's going to weigh the evidence and they'll come back within hours and he'll be exonerated. Oh, here we are. Is this day three or four?
Still going on.
Are we going on day four? I think. The jurors weighing 26-year-old Marine veteran Daniel Penny's fate Wednesday asked the judge for another look at three key pieces of evidence in his manslaughter trial. He's accused of recklessly and negligently killing Jordan Neely, 30-year-old homeless man with schizophrenia who was high on drugs and shouting death threats at subway passengers, telling them somebody was going to die today and that he didn't care about going to prison for life.
That is something that any reasonable person would take as a threat.
Well, yeah. Look, most people would be frightened at the very least. They're not going to take action, but you've got a sheepdog of a human being. Mm-hmm. He's really been trained to protect other people. And he steps up and does exactly the right thing for the right reasons. Yeah, it's sad that it ended Neely's death. It is. But this is not something I believe that he did with purpose at all.
Not at all.
And take this into account. Neely had an active arrest warrant at the time of his death. Okay? He was also high on K2. They call it synthetic marijuana drug, but it's like a stimulant, a mind-altering substance, depending on, well, the fact that he had schizophrenia and he's on this kind of drug, that's, you're begging for psychotic episodes, basically.
Yeah, and that's what they got.
And this is important, too. He had a lengthy criminal record, including a 2021 assault on a 67-year-old woman at another subway station. So, play devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he can't help it that he has, you know, mental illness. And a lot of people with mental illness are going to say things that they don't mean. And they might appear frightening, but most of them are not violent. And you know what? Sure, people with mental illness, most of them are not violent. That's true.
But how do you know?
Well, how do you know? But then after the fact, you do know. You do know. In other words, is he capable? Was he capable of actually assaulting somebody on that subway? Or did Daniel Penny just assume that he could be violent? Well, he did assume that he could be violent, but after the fact, it turns out he didn't just have the potential to be violent. He indeed absolutely was violent, and with a 67-year-old woman.
Ugh.
And wow. Not a domestic issue or something else that you could try to contrive. This happened at another subway station. The guy has a track record. And if you're diagnosed with something like schizophrenia or whatever, probably the last thing you should be doing is taking drugs.
Yeah.
So here we have, if you're saying it accurately and clearly, a wanted, violent, criminal drug addict. That's what Neely was. And the rest of the people are innocent victims who just want to get home or get to work on the subway. Daniel Penny steps up and does exactly the right thing.
Absolutely.
But
his prosecutors try to make this other guy the victim. No.
And I think I just clearly
you
explained how he is absolutely not the victim.
No, he is not.
And Daniel Penny, he had no reason to believe that, really, that he was in trouble because he did the right thing. But apparently when police talked to him, he never, at that time, didn't know that Neely died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So they talked to him for about 25 minutes, the police did. And he had no attorney present, and he waived his Miranda rights. And why would you do that? He's not a dummy.
You don't feel like you did anything wrong.
Well, right.
That's why.
Yeah, yeah, if I thought I needed an attorney, I would have called.
Yeah.
I would have found one. Because this happened days after the actual event. And, I guess actually the charges were days after the event.
Right.
But anyway, here's what he said, quote, talking about Neely. He was talking gibberish, but these guys are pushing people in front of trains and stuff, he told detectives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that his fantasy or is that based in reality?
We've seen it multiple times.
In fact, Greg, there were more than 20 subway shoves in the year before Penny's encounter with Neely. 20.
Wow.
2-0. Now, Penny did not testify at trial, so his interrogation is the only firsthand commentary shown to the jury in court. Some guy came in, and he's like, with his jacket off, and he's like, I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to go to prison forever. I don't care. That's what Neely was saying.
Hmm. Well, you'd believe them.
He said he exchanged looks with a person next to him and asked the person to hold his phone. He took his earbuds out. Then he grabbed Neely from behind in a headlock. I just kind of grabbed him from behind. And the detectives interrupted him. But Penny went on to say, because he was acting like a lunatic, like a crazy person. And he was rolling around the ground. And at that point, the train stopped. I was like, someone call the cops. Okay. And again, if you thought you killed somebody, would your first inclination be to call the cops?
No.
I mean, because you would say this, you know, if you're saying there's a maliciousness to it, Would you be the first one? You know, call the cops, call the cops. And he's still rolling around, still going crazy. I had two other guys kind of help me, just kind of keep him from going nuts. And yeah, that's when you guys came, meaning the police.
Right.
I just can't believe. And again, so I was wrong. I said, look, the jury's going to hear this. They're going to realize this never should have went to trial. And we have to ask this sad question. Would it be different if the race was reversed?
Sadly, yes.
It is. Yeah. And so there are these race baiters, these people that's all they try to do is divide us via our skin color.
Yeah, all Sharptons of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. And not like him.
Him. Yeah.
Precisely, and others. Yeah. It was basically, you know, I'm again, air quotes holding up, you know, public outrage.
Right.
The DA had to take action. Baloney.
No, follow the law is what you do. You don't care about public outrage means nothing. They're not handling someone's trial and having to base it on law.
I mean, this is the kind of thing that movies are made of, you know, and you follow this case and you realize how, you know, Penny's life has been turned upside down, you know. And you see, and they're accusing him of this, and people are chanting things, guilty, and all. It really, out of a movie, except it really is his life. Mm-hmm. And he really did step up to do the right thing. And a jury is taking days to figure that out?
Should have been a slam dunk, not guilty.
Say a prayer for this place.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Say a prayer. Wow. That's awful. Absolutely awful. The good news is somebody suggested they go, hey, if Trump gets in office, if this guy, you know, is found guilty or whatever, Trump should just pardon him.
Absolutely.
Absolutely agree.
Whatever. Yeah.
Speaking of Trump, Small Business Association Administration, I guess I should say, he made his pick clear on that. I'll share that with you and a whole lot more. Coming up on the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, we're live and local on 97.3 The Sky. Weasels rip my flesh.
Yeah?
Yeah, not just Democrats.
A weasel's a weasel. It doesn't matter what badge they get on.
It could be a rhino weasel. Yeah.
I don't want to know how that happens.
Oh, yeah, well, it happened in a lab in Wuhan. Don't kid yourself. It is 8:51, and it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's Thursday. Enjoy, my friends. The weekend almost here. All right. The top story is a UnitedHealthcare CEO that was shot down in cold blood, clearly a targeted type of, assassination, I guess you could call it, and police still haven't caught anybody, at least as far as we know up to this moment, and we shall see. There was some stock issues, trading before a DOJ investigation went public, so there's some periphery, if you will. But my first thought was to, this is associated with somebody who maybe is very disgruntled with UnitedHealthcare, for instance, maybe a loved one that died because in their mind they felt like they weren't being treated effectively, properly, whatever, and maybe, you know, took it a step too far. I don't know.
That's
what came to mind for me, too.
So it's
I think that's...
It's personal.
Yeah, it's personal, and... You know, what is the guy's position? How could that relate to the average person? Well, if you determine that he's the head of a company that you're very, very unhappy with, and you want to blame them for something maybe awful that happened to you or a loved one, then it doesn't make it okay. We're just trying to figure out
what the motivation was, personal, if you know what I mean. So,
love triangles, crazy stuff like that. Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, wouldn't be.
Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth said Wednesday morning amid rumors that Trump might replace him with Governor Ron DeSantis. And those were pretty, established rumors, if you will, I guess. And this is what he said yesterday. I spoke to the president-elect, and he said, keep going, keep fighting. I'm behind you all the way.
Nice. There you go.
Asked by CBS News if he was in this all the way, he responded, "Why would I back down? I've always been a fighter. I'm here for the fighters. This is personal and passionate."
Cool. Yeah.
Hegseth is a combat veteran, and he's been besieged by anonymously sourced reports stemming from allegations as far back as a decade ago about his alleged drinking habits and alleged treatment of women. On Tuesday evening, dozens of coworkers and friends came out in strong support of Hegseth pushing back against those anonymous sources, exposing his thoughts on what's behind these attacks on Hegseth. Breitbart editor-in-chief Alex Marlowe, he discussed this nomination. He said, once they feel like the media can run this coup, this Kavanaugh playbook, and take out Hegseth, then they're going next for Tulsi Gabbard. They'll go for some Republican saying she's not Republican enough. They'll go for Robert Kennedy. They'll say something nutty he said about his brain worms or something. And then all of a sudden, we're going to get the deep state cabinet again.
Ooh, yeah. Scary.
And scary. He and many others are concerned about the influence that these rhinos have and continue to have. They don't want Trump coming in and upsetting the apple cart and maybe affecting their little feeding trough and their little fiefdom of power that they may have developed over the years, their entrenchment, if you will. So we'll see. No word yet on Hegseth other than holding pattern, I guess you'd say, for now. The New Yorker's Jane Meyer, who previously pushed the Russian collusion hoax against President-elect Donald Trump. Okay, so remember what I always say, consider the source and remember it for future reference. Here we are in the future. On Tuesday, attacked a House candidate, Sean Parnell, a former House candidate, and a combat veteran, Sean Parnell, for debunking her hit piece on Trump Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth.
Oh, my.
I read that piece, and I think I talked about it. I know I talked about it on the air. And I said, yeah, clearly it was a hit piece.
Absolutely.
And there were anonymous sources and one source where they said, well, you sent this letter. You know, you can be identified. And he said, well, if I'm identified and I'm asked, did I do it? I'll deny it.
Wow.
And they said, even though we know you wrote it? Yep. That's the kind of weasels we're dealing with. Yeah. And weasels rip my flesh. Trademark Frank Zappa. We got a special guest in the studio in minutes. Art Forgy from the Alachua County Sheriff's Office is up next on 97.3 The Sky.